Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Chof Aleph. We're holding at the top of Chof Aleph Omed Aleph. Let's just do a quick chazara so that we can go further into the sugya. In the Gemara, back on Chof Omed Beis, two lines after the Mishnah, the Gemara brought a Mishnah from Mesechtes Oyholos. What does it say in the Mishnah? Five lines from the bottom of the Omed. We'll go through it quickly. Tanan Hossam. Echad chor shecheru mayim, oishirotzim, oishachlosim aleichas. We're talking about the most minimum size of an oihel for purposes of either spreading tumah or being mafsik befneha tumah. And it says over there that if you have a hole that was bored through water dripping over time and made a hole, or shirotzim, you had weasels and groundhogs that made a hole, or you have a corrosive substance in the soil, similar to melach, or perhaps combined with lecha, with moisture, but they also formed a hole or a crack or a crevice. A person who stacked a whole bunch of stones one on top of the other. A contractor who stored and stacked a whole bunch of beams on top of one another. And in each case, there was an ear pocket of at least a 1x1 tefach, which is the minimum size of an oihel, is mail al hatumah. It can act as a conductor of tumah and spread tumah from chas v'sholom a mess to a kli or to ochlin that find themselves in one of those ear spaces and one of those ear pockets of a tefach. Where Rabbi Yehuda says, no, kol oyel she'ini osa b'dei adam eini oyel. You know when it gets the name of an oyel? When somebody is miskaven to make an oyel. It's not enough, although the Lashon HaGemara is kol oyel she'ini osa b'dei adam, that if the oyel is made by the heavens, in other words, by Hashem Yisbarach, and not made by dei adam, then it's not an oyel. But that's not 100% accurate, because we are giving cases of the Madvech Avonim and Soya Shol Koirois, which were clearly made by an Odom. A person stacked the stones and stacked the beams on one another. So Lechoy, that's an oil She'osri Bidei Odom. And that's why Rashi says, no. Osri Bidei Odom means Miskaven La Soy Soy Oihel. He was Miskaven to create an Oihel. Aha. So therefore, bottom line is, Yehuda says that if it's not a man-made, specifically intended and intentional oil, it's not an oil to maybe a satum. My time is Yehuda always reading for Yehuda, top of the Omid, because he learns oil, oihel mi mishkan, the din of tumas oil, which we have in Parshas Chukas, says, Zoi satayra odam ki yomas bo oihel, uses the term oil. Uksiv asama by the Mishkan, it says, Vayifoisa so oil ala Mishkan, mal alon bidei adam, just like by the Mishkan. They intentionally put these yerios on top of the Mishkan, those ceiling covers, and that's the name oil, so it was done intentionally, and it was done bidei adam, to form an oil, so people should be covered. In other words, if there would be bad climate, in terms of either it's too hot, too cold, or it's raining that day, you have the oil a la Mishkan. So this was an intentional oil created bidei Adam. Same thing as the Gabi Tumas oil, it has to be created bidei Adam with the intention of making an oil. The Rabbanim disagree because they hold oil, oihel, riba. That it says three times in the Pasuk, Zoi Soteri Adam Kiyomis Po Oil. Kol Bo El Oil, Luchol Asher Bo Oil. It says oil so many times to go and tell us that any type of oil, it doesn't have to be bidei adam. Good, and that's basically where we left off yesterday. And now the Gemara is asking a kasha. V'sov Rabbi Yehuda kol oil she'ini osa bidei adam einoi oyel. Oh, you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you have an oil, but it was not created by mankind, and even if it was created by mankind, if it wasn't created with the intention of making an oil, does Rabbi Yehuda hold that under those circumstances it doesn't have the status of an oil? Or a minna will ask you a kasha from a Mishnah in Masechtes Parah. Now what does it say Masechtes Parah? So before we start the Mishnah, let us remember what we learned at the beginning of Masechtas Yuma, where the Gemara told us that because of one particular kula that was implemented by the Chachmei Yisrael, and they implemented this kula to go and show the Tzedokim that they are wrong, because of that the Chachmei Yisrael were afraid that people will be mezalzel in the inyan of Tumah v'Tahara and the whole Porah Aduma process, and therefore they built a whole bunch of chumras one on top of the other. Now what did we learn at the beginning of Masechtas Yuma? We learned there that when it comes to the inyan of the Porah Aduma, it says in the Pasuk, the Asaf Ish Tohoir, Eis Efer HaPora, Ish Tohar. What means an Ish Tohar? Obviously it means a person who is Tohar, that is not Tameh. However, there are multiple interpretations. What does that mean? The Tzedokim said that the only ones that can handle and be involved in the Porah Aduma process, that's the Sreifa and the taking of the ash and adding it to the water, etc., the only ones that can be involved are Mu'uravei Shemesh. Mu'uravei Shemesh means someone who became Tamei by touching the Moshel, a dead Sheret or Nevela. He went to the mikveh. He's now a tvul yoim, and he will continue to be a tvul yoim until nightfall. When it's nightfall, then he becomes 100% tohar. During the time, the interval between toivling in the mikveh and between nightfall, that's a bein hashmoshes type of period, and during that bein hashmoshes, he's called a tvul yoim. So this is one of those rare situations where the tzedokim were machmir, and they said a tvul yoim is disqualified from being involved in the Parah Aduma process, while Chazal said, no, you're wrong. Even a tvul yoim can be involved. And to go and press this point home, what did Chazal do? Whenever they did a Parah Aduma, the people that were involved, they would take them and would be metamei them, and make sure that they're tamei. Have them go to the mikveh, come out of the mikveh, they would proclaim, I am now a tvul yoim, and then Chazal said, you are qualified to be involved in the Parah Aduma, to go and punch in, and give a punch in the eye to the tzedokim, that you guys are wrong, you don't have to have Harif Shemesh, tvul yoim is good. But now there's that concern that people say, you see, even though the Torah requires Tohar, you see what they did? They took a person who was Tohar and they were metame him. And therefore it looks like this whole thing is kind of specious in there. The Tahar over here doesn't have to be in the highest level. And therefore they instituted a whole bunch of special takanas. Takana number one is that all of the kalim that were involved in, for instance, collecting the water, drawing the water, collecting the ash, all of them have to be kalim that are not susceptible to tumah, such as kli glolim, kli avonim, kli adam. Number two, the kohen that's going to do the sreifa sapara, he had to go and have prisha for 7 days, just like we had the kohen gadol at the beginning of Masechtas Yuma, same thing, the Kohen who was involved in the Sreifa Sapara had to sequester himself for 7 days. Number three, no other Kohanim can get close to him. He cannot say Shalom Aleichem by greeting him with his hand, and not even by greeting him with his elbow, but he had to go and just wave to him Shalom Aleichem. They couldn't touch him. We want to make sure he doesn't become Tameh. Number four, the entire time of the 7 days, we did Hazoas Shlish Yushvi. In other words, every one of the 7 days, we spritzed on him Porah Aduma water as if he was Tameh. Hopefully he was never Tameh, but we did spritzing on him, so that would be another level of Tahara. Now, where did we get the Porah Aduma water from? So there was a stash, if you will, of Afer Porah Aduma in the Beis HaMikdash. And when they wanted to make Parah Aduma, they had to have someone go and collect the water from Mayim Chayim El Keli, Mayim Chayim from a Ma'ayon, and add that to the ash, and with that you make a mixture, and then you could spritz it on the kohen. Well, we want to make sure that those people that are involved in collecting the water are going to be Tohoyer. So you know what? We want special Kindalach, who are 7 or 8 years old, because once you get to the age of 9, they might have seen carry, so it's got to be a little yingle, but maybe this yingle became tamei. So let us see what they did in Yerushalayim, a very, very special takana. Zasaz the Gemara, the sabra of Yehuda called oil sheni osamide odom eni oil ramino ayava Mishnah. Mishnah says in Parab, chatzeres hoyabinuas Yerushalayim. They built special neighborhoods in Yerushalayim, and they made sure that the neighborhood that was built was al gabe hasela, was built over boulders that had been there apparently from Sheshes Yemei Bereshes. These look like boulders that had never been touched since the beginning of the creation of the world. V'tachteyem cholol, and they didn't have people living on the soil, but they built on top of this chotzer, they built a platform. And underneath the platform was a chalal. There was space of at least a tefach. Then they gave it out to him. Even though, explains Rashi, the likelihood of Kevrat Tehoim is 1 in 1,000,000, maybe 1 in 1,000,000,000, because after all, we're talking about they settled on bedrock, where the rock was embedded in the ground, apparently from Sheshes Yemei Bereshes. So how could there be anybody underneath those rocks? How could there be a Kevrat Tehoim? But you never know. So to be on the safe side, they made a platform of at least a tefach space, so that if there's any tumah, it would get trapped in underneath that platform. It wouldn't be bokeh ava'ola. Umeviyan noshim ubrois, and now we import women that are already pregnant, the yoldesham, and we have them give birth there in that chotzer. And not only do they give birth there, but we give them property. Umegadlas b'neim sham, we have them go and raise their children there in this special chotzer, which is super tahir because it was built over a platform, over these huge boulders from Sheshes Yemei Bereshes. And the reason for that was lapara, for purpose of the parah aduma. So what did we do now with these children that were born? Umeidin shvarim, now comes time to go and spritz the paraduma water on the koyin 7 days prior to the paraduma. In other words, prior to processing the paraduma into shchita, into ash, etc., etc. So what did they do? Umeidin and shvarim, they brought these huge oxen, the algabe, and on the backs of the oxen they placed dulosois, doors. In other words, not in a vertical fashion, but it was in a horizontal fashion on the back of the shor. Presumably they tied it down very, very well. The tinoikas Yoshua Gabayim, and now these tinoikas that were brought up in this neighborhood, who are only 7 or 8 years old, we had them sit on top of the door. The koish shalem b'yadayim, and they would be holding on to jugs of made out of Evan, so that they're not mekabel tuma. The igio, the higio lishiloyach, they got to the meishiloyach, which was a spring, which was outside or inside Yerushalayim. And yor l'toich hamayim, they had the children go off the deles, go down to the water, shep water, draw water in their koisus shel even, umilim, and they filled them up, v'olu, and they returned then up to the top of the deles, v'yoshu lehem, and then they sat down there once again to be brought back to wherever they're going to spritz the water on the koyin, and then they would take that water that the children had brought up the meishiloyach, would go and mix in with it the ash, and now we have mechatas, paraduma water, and they would go and spritz it on the kite. So this is all, as you can well imagine, very, very fascinating, that they really went to great, great lengths to ensure that people would not go and poo-poo the inyan of the paraduma and the inyan of tumah v'tahara, that they had these special chatzeros where they had people give birth, women give birth, and raise their children, etc., etc. Rabbi Yossi says it wasn't necessary for the children to get off the delas and to go into the water and bring the water up, but rather them koyimoy hayim mishalshu umemalei when they came out to hayim. Rabbi Yossi says you did a wonderful job until now of making sure that these kids don't get close to a kevrat ha'im by building the platform on top of a neighborhood where you had these old boulders, some sheshes mei breishes. That's all very good. But during that minute that they're going to get off of the Deles and go down to the ground to go and shep some water, after all, maybe there's a Kevrat Ohayim there. So all of your plans and all of your strategy can fail in that 1 second if there's a Kevrat Ohayim. See, in other words, what we're going to do, instead of having the children go down, we're going to have them Mishalshul. Mishalshul means to lower. We had Mishalshul a few days ago, that means Mishalshul, the Dofan HaSukkah, Mimala Lamata, and we also know what Shulshul means in modern day Hebrew. So Mishalshul, they would go and lower the, not the child, but the jug. In other words, just like when you are drawing water from a well, that you don't go and jump into the well to bring the water up. You lower a bucket into the well. So here too, they lowered this koishel evan into the mayan of the meishiloyach, brought up the water, and they gave a time that the person, that the children shouldn't become tamei. And what does the Tana Kama hold? The Tana Kama holds that even if there was a Kevra HaTohim in the Chotzer, but who goes and buries a mess under the riverbed, under a Mayan? And so therefore you don't have to worry about that there was a Kevra HaTohim, and that's why the children can go down from the Deles to draw the water and bring it up. And Rabbi Yossi said, no. You'd rather go and lower the jug. So if you're saying, hey, Rabbi Yossi's eitz is a better eitz, you know, why should he even take a chance? So that says Rashi, right before the wide lines, four lines before, Yordu l'tei chamayim u'milim, kosav ra'itana miloi bo'inan, v'loi shi'ishalshel b'chevel. This mandiyama holds that the Pora Aduma water has to be filled, be they other with miloi. In other words, somebody actually getting down into the Mayan and drawing the water, as opposed to just drawing it from a long chevel up above. Okay. All of this so far is fascinating, but notice we haven't mentioned Rabbi Yehuda's name even once yet, and the Gemara is trying to ask Akash and Rabbi Yehuda. So now we finished the Mishnah Masechtas Parah, but we have an adjoining Braisa, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Loi Hoyim Levi'in Delasois, Elishvarim, they didn't bring a door, they brought just the shor alone. Okay, let's take a break right over here. Why does the Tana Kama say that they put the door on the back of the shor? The reason is because as the Kindlech are going on this shore, on the back of the Deles, we want to make sure that from the spot, the chotzer, where this child has been raised since birth, can you imagine a 7 or 8 year old child has never left his chotzer, so presumably there's a cheder there, and there's a shul there, and there's a small community, and he never left it, because if he leaves it, chulili, he might become tamei tumas hatohayim. This is the first time in his life he's leaving the Chetz Chotzer, and he's going on the back of the shor towards the Meshaloyach to draw the water. We want to make sure that this child doesn't become Tamei Tumas HaTohayim whilst the shor is going from the Chotzer to the Meshaloyach. After all, Chotzer to Meshaloyach, maybe that's a mile, maybe it's a half a mile, maybe it's 2 miles. I didn't know where the Chotzer was, I didn't know where the Meshaloyach was. But the point is, there is a path here, and maybe somewhere on this path below there is a Kevrat Ohayim that I don't know about, that nobody knows about. I don't have to tell you that every couple of years you see in the newspapers a whole big fuss that in Yerushalayim they're digging out foundations for a new hotel or for a new skyscraper or a new this, that, or the other thing, and they come upon old bones from yesteryear that nobody knew about, and then becomes a whole big scandal. Anyway, but the point is that you can always have a Kevrat Ohayim anywhere. So that's why they had the Deles. The Deles was to act as an oil hamafsik. The oil of the Deles was at least 30 or 40 or 50 inches off the ground. In other words, the height of the shor. You have the Deles on top. Just in case there's any Kevrat Ohayim tuma, it'll all get captured beneath this Deles. Won't be bokeh, won't go straight up and be metame anybody in the back of the Deles, because the Deles acts as a machitza to be chotzeitz bifnei hatama. Ah, very, very good. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, don't bother with the Deles, just use the shvarim themselves. Now, l'choira, Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasai, this doesn't make sense. Because Rabbi Yehuda says when we're talking about an ohel for purposes of tumah v'tahara, it's got to be osui bidei adam. A deles is osui bidei adam. Now normally, of course, you make a deles for a passageway, for a doorway. True. But even according to Yehuda, we could have manufactured this deles, saying we're making it expressly for the purposes of an oil. And even if you didn't manufacture it for an oil, when you affixed it to the back of the shor, presumably you could say, Rebesa, you know why I'm putting this door here, this deles here? Not because I want somebody to open the door and to go on to the shor, but I'm putting the door here because I want it to act as an oil. So the chayra, that works beautifully, Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasai, that it has to be osui bidei adam with the kavana to make an oil. In other words, Shelley, he had the full intent to make this tent, to make this oil. Shkoyach. Anyway, but getting back to...
At least in that door,
exactly. Maybe not all generations, but at least in that door. Yeah, beautiful. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, why would Rabbi Yehuda say that it's enough just to have the Shvarim? After all, the Shvarim are not Osi Bidei Adam, the Shvarim are Osi Bidei Shamayim. And that's the Gemara's Kasha. Dr. Gemara, get back to Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Oyim Elohim, Medin Tolosis, El Shvarim. Break the Gemara, but Shvarim, the oil she'eni Osi Bidei Adam hu. Shvarim is an oil that's not made by people. It's made by Hashem Yisbarach. Uktani Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo hayu mevin delosis el shvarim. So we see that a shor, which is bidei shamayim, is an acceptable oihel to be chotzeitz v'fnei hatuma. It's a good oihel. Is a shvera stira Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Ki osur v'dini om Rabbi Lazar. By Rabbi Yehuda kim loy egroiv. Even though Rabbi Yehuda says that typically to make an oil it has to be bidei adam with a kavana to make an oil, however, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that's only if you're talking about the minimum size of a tefach. Once you get to a larger shiur, it doesn't have to be done bidei adam. What is a larger shiur? Kimloi egreif. Now, egreif literally means a fist. Now, we all know that a tefach is basically a fist, right? A tefach is basically four fingers. So if you put your fingers together, that's a tefach and it's a mloi egreif. What's the difference? Explains Rashi, we don't mean your egreif or my egreif. We're talking about an egreif of a person who had gigantic dimensions. Specifically, Rashi refers to the person as Ben Avatiach. I don't know whether he got the name Avatiach because he looked like he was as big as a watermelon. I don't know. But what I do know is he had the name Ben Avatiach, and his proportions were such that his egroif, says Rashi, was kiroish kol adam. That was the size of the normal head of the normal individual. How large is the size of the head of a normal individual? I don't know, take the measures, but it's got at least to be 2 tvachim, 3 tvachim tall, and 2 tvachim back. I mean, it's got to be at least double or triple the size of your tefach. And therefore, says Reb Yehuda, when you're talking about an oil osui bidei adam, even a tefach is sufficient to be chotzeit, and to be maybe a satuma, it's an acceptable oil if it's osu bidei adam. However, if it's not osu bidei adam, as long as you have that the ear space is mloi egroif and egroif of ben avatiach, then you're okay, then that is also an acceptable oil. And therefore, underneath the body of the shor, you have at least mloi egroif. We're talking about from the bottom of the belly to the floor. How much is that? That's got to be at least 3, 4, 5 tvachim. And that being the case, I got more than a mloi egroif. And therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's sufficient. Tanya bihachi, umayt Rabbi Yehuda bishkifin, umenekike hasloim. That Rabbi Yehuda agrees by shkifin. Shkifin, says Rashi, means a place where you have like a miniature canyon where there previously was a large cellar, and that cellar was uprooted, leaving a huge hole in the ground, or Nikikis Loim means in the crevices and the cracks of boulders, of large rocks. What does it mean, Umoydir Behuda? Even though Shkif and Nikikis Loim are made bidei Shamoyim, they're not made bidei Adam. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that those two could have the status of an oil, meaning if you put on top of the Shkifen or the Kikas Loim, you put something to cover over it, the space down below, covered over by this covering, would have enough ear space to constitute an oil, even though it wasn't done bidei Adam, it was done bidei Shamoyim. Frank Tigmara. Okay, you answered the stira of Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda needs bidei Adam if it's only the minimum of a tafach, but if it's kemaloi egroif or more, even if it's not bidei Adam. But Frank Tigmara, why was Rabbi Yehuda bothered by the fact that there was a delis? Bari delis di yeshva kam egroifin. Underneath the delis to the floor, there got to be multiple egroifin size. And if that's the case, so voshish lecht. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda say, leave the delis? After all, the Tanakhama of the Mishnah in Masechtas Parah says that they put a delis on the back of the shor. Rabbi Yehuda says, no! Lo yehoyim evim delosois, elishvarim, vos artis. What does it bother you, Rabbi Yehuda, that there was a delis there? Everything. Mara uktane v'yudal emelim evim delosois elishvarim. Oh, Rabbi, what the Brisa means is, says Rabbi Yehuda, lehutzrichu lahavid delosois. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you could affix a delis to the back of the shor. Sure. If you want to add a delis, no problem. It's a sure thing. Rather, what Abaye says is, or that Rabbi Yehuda holds it wasn't necessary to bring a delis. The shor itself is sufficient. Because after all, if this youngster, 7-8 year old, is going to ride on the back of the shor, you don't have to worry about that the youngster is going to become tamei b'kevrat tohoim, because the belly of the shor till the ground is more than a meloi egroif. It's an effective chotzeitz b'fnei atoma, and everything is great. So that's pshat of Abaye. Rava Omar, no, punk faket, that Rabbi Yehuda says, don't put on a delis. Loi hoyu mevi, and the loss is called ikr. Don't do it. What does Gemara mean to say? That what happens if this child, who's only 7 or 8 years old, he is riding for the first time on this large animal, this large shor, he is going to feel like he's on top of the world. When people go to the top of the Empire State Building or similar large structures, do they just go to the top and then go down again? No. They look out. And what do they focus on? They focus down below. That people and that the cars and whatever down below all look like tiny little ants and tiny little nothing. Why do people do that? Because it's good for their self-esteem, for their ego, that they feel like they're on the top of the world and they see everybody down below are miniature size compared to them. They really feel special, etc. So this little kid of 7-8 years old, he's on top of a shor for the first time, leaving his chotzer, first time since he was born. He's looking at it and say, hey, wow, this is a great wide world out there. And he starts looking around. What's going on underneath my delis? And he's going to peek out and he's going to put his head over the side of the delis. Remember, the delis is relatively wide, certainly compared to the shor. And so there he's going to peek his head out to the right and to the left. He's going to put his hand out and see whether it's raining, whether it's sunny, whether it's cold, what's down below. And you know what? When he's going to do that, he's no longer going to have the benefit of the delis being chotzeitz b'fnei hatuma. If in fact the shor is walking over a path where there is a kever hatahim, by sticking out his head or his hand, this child is going to become tamei. We don't want that to happen. And therefore, take away the delis, have the child just ride on the back of the shor, presumably holding on to the reins for dear life, that he shouldn't go and fall to the right or to the left, just sticking there in the middle, so I don't have to worry about that. Shemi yoiti roishoi oy echon meivarv. Again, repeating Rava three lines to the bottom. Rava amaloi hoyu meidin velosis kolika. Don't bring a delis. Metnei shedata shel tinoi gasa olav. This child really feels good about himself. Shemiyoti roishoy. Maybe he's going to extend his head. Oy echon meivarv, or his hand, or his leg. One of his limbs, the yitma, and he's going to become tamei bekever atahoyim. And therefore, don't use a dalas. Have him only ride on the back of the shor. So we have now a machloket between Abaye and Rava. Is Rabbi Yehuda saying you don't need a dalas, but you can use one? Just don't bother. It's just a, you know, waste of time, a waste of money, energy, blah blah blah. Or is it like Rava? No, Dafka, don't use a dalas. And the Gemara brings a braisa here on the top of Amid Beis. Word for word, just like what Rava was saying. Tanya Kavasi, the Rava, Rabbi Yehuda, Oimer, Loi Hoye Mevi, and the Loss is Kalik, you know why? Meshadaja Shotinik, Gasa Olav, Shema Yoitzi Roisha Yachem Mevar, Vien Metugever Atahoim, and therefore Elam Mevi and Shvarim HaMitzrim, bring ashore from Mitzrayim, as you know, they brought other types of animals also from Mitzrayim because of their strength and the durability and all whatever. And in fact, they used to go and castrate some of them so that they shouldn't go and breed them outside of Mitzrayim. So they brought these shvarim from Mitzrayim, shekroisei and rechavos, where the keres, meaning their bellies, are nice and wide. But the noik is yoshvan al gabeim, and the tinnik would not be riding on a delis, but would be sitting on the back of the shar. Because shall Evan be Dayan, and Tanoikis would have these cups made out of Evan in their hands, so they should not be Makabal Tuma. He healed the Shaloyach when it came to the Mei Shaloyach. Yordu, the child, would go and get off of the back of the shar. Umilam, and they filled up the kois. Va'olu, and came back up. V'yoshal and Al-Gabayim, and sat Vaiter on the back of the shar. And then they went to where the ever their destination was, presumably to the Beis Hamikdash, and took that water, mixed it with the ash, spritzed it on the kohen, and everything is great. And I see Barry has a question.
Why were children allowed to do this? If you're supposed to fill the Torah commandment to fill from water of a Mayim Chaim al Keli, how can this child execute this command? He's not a even though he's less likely to become Tameh, is also not mitzvah to fill it up.
When we learned Masechtas Yuma, we had a whole sugya over there where we went through the psukim in painstaking detail, pasuk after pasuk after pasuk, which in connection with which avoidos were only men as opposed to women, were gedolim as opposed to ktanim, and then you recall we had moitzi miyad mashma or moitzi meila mashma, and therefore, in certain respects, children are permitted to do the avoid, and certain things not. The Gemara brought in each pasuk, where one pasuk said ish v'loy cotton, and then in the next pasuk, since it doesn't say that, it means even a cotton is okay. You'd have to look up that sugya. But we're talking about a situation, one of those requirements where even ketanim are permitted to do this. Presumably, the reason why they're permitted to do it, I mean, you don't need a Deutish Tam of the Kra, after all their psukim, but presumably the reason why is because this is basically a messenger service. All the children are doing is they're bringing the water for the Meshiloyach, and they're bringing it to the Mokim where they're going to take that water, add the ash to it, and then use it for spritzing on the Kain. But once again, I would advise we should look up that sugya in Yuma, where they go through the psukim, and where those things where a cotton is permitted to do various avoidas. So getting back to our Gemara, and with this we have now concluded the sugya that we began yesterday, talking about Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, that for purposes of an oil, it has to be made bidei adam, with the kavana to make the oil bidei adam. Otherwise, it's not an oil. And then we have the exception to the rule where the space is much more than a tefach. It's at least kimloi egroif of ben avatiach. In that case, it doesn't even have to be made bidei adam. Even bidei shemoyim, it would be an effective oil. Now, why did we bring all of this? We brought all of this because of the halacha in our Mishnah. What did it say in our Mishnah? It said in our Mishnah that there's a machloikis whether or not you are yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah if you sleep under a bed in the sukkah. Obviously, if you sleep on top of the bed, that's great. But now you're sleeping underneath the bed in the sukkah. So the Tana Kama said, you're not yoitzer. You're not yoitzer. Why are you not yoitzer? Because the bed itself, its dimensions are such. Remember, Mar brought Shmuel, that this was an elevated bed, where underneath the bed you had 10 tfachim. And, says the Tana Kama, you're not sleeping inside the sukkah anymore. You're sleeping under an oihel, which is mafsik in the sukkah. You're sleeping, if you will, in an oil in the sukkah. And since you have to sleep in the oil, I'm sorry, you have to sleep in the sukkah, and not the oil hamafsik b'toich ha-sukkah, you're not yoitzah. And if you'd have said, no, I remember years ago when we were teenagers, when we were younger light, we used to sleep under the mita b'fnei ha-sakenim. They didn't say anything. So obviously, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's okay. It's not a problem. It's not an ohel hamafsik. Freit Gemara, why? Vare mita diyesh bakam egroifim. Underneath the mita, you have several egroifim, several sizes of ben avatiach's fist. How do I know? Because the mita, as Shmuel said right after the Mishnah, is talking about a case where it was asara tvachim, 10 tvachim off the ground. 10 tvachim has got to be at least 2 or 3 or 4 agroifim. And if that's the case, Rabbi Yehuda should agree that it is a full-fledged oil. And now I know why we had to bring this whole sugya. Because if we were only learning from the Mishnah in Masechta Seholos, where Rabbi Yehuda says that kol oil sheni osui b'dei odem enei oil, we could say that Behuda is lishitosai, that you make a bed for purpose of sleeping on top of the bed, not sleeping under the bed. So this mita was not meant to be an oil underneath. And that being the case, that's the reason why it's not an oil hamafsik b'toy chasukah. That was the Mishnah Noihalis. But now that we've established that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you can have an oyel not intended for an oyel, like this mita, I didn't intend making it for an oyel, but if it's an oyel, it's an oyel. If it has maloy egro, if it becomes an oyel, even if I didn't intend to make it into an oyel. So if Azoy, why did Rabbi Yehuda allow himself and others to sleep underneath the mita? Don't I have an oyel which is mafsik b'fnei haschach in the sukkah? Everything marishani mita hoil ulegabo asuya. Since a mita is not meant for under the bed, it's meant for on top of the bed, it doesn't get a shame oihel. Yes, it has the dimensions of an oihel, but it doesn't get a shame oil, because it's almost like a hepach kavana. Who sleeps under beds, Rabbi Yisrael? You sleep on top of a bed. It's not the intention to go and buy a bed in the store to go and sleep under it. So therefore, it's not intended to be an oil, and that's why it's not mafsik in the sukkah. Freiti mora, noi bazoi, shmorim nami legabon asuyim. The purpose of a shor is to go and ride on its back. Not that it should act as a chatzitza b'fnei the kever ha-tohoim underneath the shor. When I look at a shor, I don't think to myself, oh, I have a built-in oihel. Come on. So it's also not meant for underneath. It's meant for on top of the shor. So, ibazoi, how does it act as an oihel from underneath? Everything was he also rabbi number blaz the shani shvarim hoyl meginim al haroyim becham nehacham uvgisham nehacham. He says, believe it or not, the shvarim that we're talking about were used as an oil. What does that mean? That royim, shepherds during the winter or during the summer, when they had problems with the climate, with the weather, they often used the belly and the dimensions of the shore to act as their protective device, to act as an umbrella in the rain, and act as a sun umbrella in the sun. So the royim got very hot, or they were getting wet, they would crouch underneath the belly of a standing shor. So if that's the case, they in fact use the belly of a shor as an oil. So that's why they can use it here too, for purposes of the kindlech, who are going to draw the water from the Mei Shilech. Most of us, we put under our beds our shoes that we wore during the day and our sandals, our slippers that we wear at night, so we put them underneath the bed. So in that sense, the bed is also acting as an oil. It's not acting as an oil for a person, but it's acting as a oil for a thing. So shouldn't that also have the status of an oil, even according to Rabbi Yehuda? And therefore, why did he sleep underneath the bed? It's not that the shvarim act as an oil for things underneath it or beneath it, but it acts as an oil for its own inner infrastructure, because the spine and the rib cage of the shvarim are megan, they protect the bnei me'ayin, the innards of the shvarim. That's all of the organs inside, like the stomach, etc. Shenemar, like I said in the pasuk, oyer ubaser tal bisheni, ubatzamas vikidin tesoichecheni. With oyer ubaser, you will be mal bishmi. You're going to clothe me with the hide, with the skin, and with the flesh. Ubatzamas, and with the bones, the gidim, and with the sinews, with the arteries, to seichecheni. The word seichecheni, says Rashi, comes from the word schach. Now, mind you, this pasuk is not talking about behemoths, it's talking about a person. It's a pasuk in Eoif. And what that pasuk is telling you is that the atzumas of the gidim act as the schach for a person. Zogteisvis. If we're talking about a person, al achis kama vikama. A behema, because after all, a person stands erect, upright. A behema goes down on all fours. So there, its shedra acts as much greater protective schach to the innards than that of a person. See the top toises. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it like an oil. So this is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a heaven made, a God made oil. What is the oil? Not for the royim underneath, but rather for the body of the animal itself. The innards are protected by the upper layer of the animal, where you have the shedra, you have the spine, that acts as chach for the rest of the animal. And that being the case, it's a built-in oil, and that's why you can use it, says Rabbi Yehuda, for the kindlech when they're going to collect water, to draw water from the Mei Shilech. The Iboy say, Manocha Pshad Rabbi Yehuda, Tami Diyama Sukka Diras Keva Be'inan, V'havle Mita Diras Aroi, V'sukka Oyel Keva, V'le Osi Oyel Aroi, Mevatel Oyel Keva. What is this all about? It's true that back on Dav Beis Omer Aleph, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, three reasons why a sukkah, which is a Malami Esrim Amma, is no good. One of the reasons was rava, because it becomes an oil keva, oil kva, and not an oil aroi. That's true. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, because in the very first Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says you can make a sukkah l'malami esra mama. You can make it even 40 or 50 amois tall. And back on Dav Zayin, Amid Beis, we had Omer Abaya, a whole list of great Tanoim, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Shimon, and Ram Gamliel, and Reb Lezer, and Achayrim, and Beis Shammai, and Revi, all hold that when it comes to a sukkah, diras kiva be'inan. You need an oil kiva, and not an oil aray. And that is, one of them is Reb Yehuda. And the reason why the Gemara cited Reb Yehuda, because Reb Yehuda says you can make a sukkah even 40 or 50 amas tall. That's a huge structure. You can't just make it out of little thin sticks, lit out of toothpicks. You gotta make a strong structure that it shouldn't fall down immediately. Chas v'shalom, it shouldn't collapse. Cholina. So therefore, Rav Yehuda holds sukkah ziras kvabina. V'havale the mita. You know, I will grant you, says this Iboyeseima, that the mita has a din of an oil. Fine, it's an oil. Good. It has the dimensions of an oil. It's 10 tvachim tall. People can sleep under it. Fine, granted, you have your sandals, you have your shoes, it's an oil. But it's still an oil aroi. And for purposes of sukkahs, you need a diras kiva. And therefore, the diras oil aroi of the mita will not undermine the diras kiva of the sukkah itself. It's behavali mita diras aroi, the sukkah oil kiva, So that's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda. We thought all along that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the mita is not an oil, and that's why it's not mafsik and not chotzeitz inside the sukkah. The Gemara, according to this final tarot, says, I will make a major concession. It is an oil after all, but it's still a temporary oil and not a permanent oil. But the sukkah has to be the status of a permanent oil, and therefore a diras aroi cannot undermine the status of the diras kva, the permanent oil of the sukkah. Frank Timover, Reb Shimon, the Omer Nami Sukkah Diras Keva Be'inan. Reb Shimon was on that list on Zion Amid Beis of all those Tanoim that hold that Sukkah Diras Kva Be'inan. Reb Shimon was among them. But in our Mishnah, Reb Shimon argues with Reb Yehuda. Because Reb Shimon quotes Ram Gamliel, then Ram Gamliel said, oh, look how smart my Tevi Avdi, who is such a great Talmud Chacham, and he knows that Avodim are part of a sukkah, and that's why he takes the option of sleeping under the bed, figuring, I don't want to take anybody else's place away, I'll just sleep under the bed because I'm part of a sukkah anyway. Oh, so what do we see from this, said Reb Shimon? I learn from the Sichas Chulin of Ram Gamliel that number one, Avodim are part of a sukkah, and number two, that a Yoshan Tachas Amita lo Yotze Yedei Chayvasai. Person sleeps under an Amita, he's not Yotze. Why? Because I have an Oel here. I have an Oel Aroi. So I have a case of Reb Shimon that holds that the Oel Aroi is Chotzeitz Bifnei, the Oel Kva. And Reb Shimon requires an Oel Kva. Like the Gemara says in Daf Zayin Amud Beis. How do I know Reb Shimon holds you need a Deris Kva? The Gemara says, because we hold that it's enough to have just two walls and a tefach. Reb Shimon says you have to have three walls and a tefach. And the Gemara said, why do you have to have three walls and a tefach? To protect yourself from the climate, from the weather. You have to have a structure. Three walls and a tefach is genug. So you see, according to Reb Shimon, you need a diras kva. So for 18 more of Reb Shimon, the Yomad Sukkah, diras kva be'inon, v'yosi oil aroi, mevatel oil kva. Says the Gemara, you know, you're 100% right. There's a machlokes between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, and b'hapligi. Even though both of them agree that a sukkah has to be an oil kva, a permanent strong. And when we say permanent structure, we don't mean that this structure has to stay there more than a week. After the week is over, you can dismantle it. But during that week, it has to be so strong that you could leave it indefinitely, for a month, for a year, for 5 years, or whatever. Not that type of rickety type of shack or hut that you just go with a little, one little shove, and the whole thing comes falling down. It's got to be a diras kva. So bottom line is, what we've ended our Gemara is that yes, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that a mita could be deemed an ohel, but the reason why it's not mafsik bifnei haschach of the sukkah, and the reason why you're allowed to sleep underneath this oil, because this oil is an oil aroi, and this is an oil kva, and never the twain shall meet. So you have one little shtickle left on our Mishnah, and this shtickle is, if you will, like a shtickle agadata, Reb Shimon, Maisim Etevi Avdoi, and the times of Ram Gamliel. It's Tanya. In the Braisa it says, Reb Shimon, Misichos Eishram Gamliel, from the Sicha, from the speech, Avram Gamliel, Laman Lishnei Dvarim. We learn two things. Laman Lishavonim Pturim in a sukkah, and Eved is Potter. For Laman Lishayoshin Tachas Amitla Yotzidei Chavosoi. And if you sleep under the Mita, you're not Yotze. But since an Eved doesn't have to be Yotze, because he's Potter, son of Avram can sleep under the Mita. Frey Yomara, why does Reb Shimon begin the Braisa, Mesichosoi Sharam Gamliel? Valema Midvarav Sharam Gamliel. It should say from his words, not from his sicha. Sicha has that sense of like, it's just chatting, chatter, as opposed to dvarim means those are, you know, strong words. Says the Umilta Agav Orche Kamashvon, Ki Adam Rav Acha Bar Ada, Vi Amri Lo Amr Rav Acha Bar Ada, Amr Rav Amnuna Amr Rav. The Gemara wants to tell us a side note, a side lesson, that Minayin Shafila Sichas Talmid HaChacham It really should say Sichas Chulin, and that's another gears on the side. Sichas Chulin shall tell me the Chum Tzricha Limud. How do you know that even when a person who is a Talmud Chacham says Sichas Chulin, it's not to be ignored that he's just talking nonsense, but everything that he says requires limud, analysis, and understanding. Shnemet says the possible leyu loy yiboil. Now, where is this for leyu loy yiboil? This is the very beginning of Tehillim, and it says in the pasuk, "Vayikay shosel apalgei moyim asheyiri piriyah yid itam beitoy va'aleyu loy yiboil b'chol asheyasi yatzliach." The pasuk is referring to a person who is an oved Hashem, who is listening to Hashem, he's learning Torah. And period yitim beito, he's going to have Baruch Hashem, a nice crop of peyrois. B'chol hashiyas yasliach, everything that he does is going to be with success. V'oleu lo yibail. V'oleu means that the leaf is not going to wither. So the Gemara says that that's an expression, that the leaf means even a dover kal, something which is very lightweight, will also have success, will also grow, and won't wither. So here too, the Sichas Chulin Shal Tamid Chacham is considered to be the lightweight words of a Talmid Chacham. It's not, he's giving a shir, giving a drosha, writing a sefer. He's just talking Sichas Chulin. Even that, you can learn limud because that Dover Kal, that Oleu Lo Yibar, also has significance and you can learn lessons from it. I once heard years ago, B'derech B'dichusa, in other words, in a jocular fashion, that this Gemara is telling us another thing, that when a person is giving a speech, even if he's the great, great Talmud Chacham, he should not ramble, but he should try to come to an end after a relatively short period of time. Where do we see that? Sichas Chilin Shal Talmid Chachamim Tzarech Limit. It has to have a limit. It cannot be unlimited. It's got to be restrained. It has to have a limit. Okay, anyway, on to the next Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah. Yes?
So, Rav Naftali is speaking of the Riff.
Zochrono
Levracha. Sadek's Zechel of Racha.
Yes?
Used to say that when you speak, it should be good and good. Okay. Bad and bad means that the substance isn't good and it's long.
Uh-huh.
And you can figure out all the other variations. So it should be good and good.
Beautiful. A good Dvar Torah. Thank you for sharing it. And I'm sure when Avrif was saying that, it was his Sichas Chulin. And you see from that, a Sichas Chulin, Shal Tamid Chacham, and Svichel Limud. For those of you who are wondering who Rav Rif was the Shver of the late Rabbi Geninger of the Young Israel. And Rav Rif was a Baki B'chola Torah Kula. He knew Torah on his fingertips. Any Chazal, any Gemara, any Medrash, he knew exactly where it was. Since you mentioned Rav Rif, we'll just go off on a tangent for 10 seconds. I remember somebody in Shul asked him, Rav Rif, you know, where is this Bekanta Chazal? Where does it say it? Who was the one that asked the question? It was the late Reb Elia Kleiman, the father of Roberto Kleiman, who comes from time to time to the Foran Shtibel. And Reb Elia Kleiman said, Rav, you know, where is this Chazal? She said, does it need ka Bavli? Does it need ka Yerushalmi? Does it need ka Medrash Rabo? Does it need ka Medrash Tanchuma? Does it a Tesvissel in Mesechtas Nida? Ungefähr Tesis, a left of Tesis von unten, daf mem test, daf nun, dovril break the hera Gemara. So I went to go and bring a Gemara Mesechtas Nida. We looked it up, and in fact it was a Tesvissel there in the bottom of mem test, daf nun. There in Masechtas Nida, he knew on his fingertips. He knew. Can I know? Okay. Anyway, Halavai of Uns Gesagt. Next Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah. Very simple Mishnah. Simple Gemara. Hasoymuk Sukasi Bekroy Hamita Ksheira. You took a large bed. We all know how beds are constructed. They have, if you will, four walls. In the good old days, they had more substantial walls than our beds have today, but had four walls. You have, of course, the mattress and the spring in the middle. Remove the mattress and the spring in the middle, and now you have a nice bed frame from all four sides. Assuming that it is a tall bed, like the previous Mishnah, Shmuel said the bed was 10 tvachim tall, and presumably he means the airspace underneath the bed, alachs kam v'kam, the bed itself had nice walls of 10 tvachim on all sides, and now he put schach on top of the bedposts, on top of the bed walls. and obviously made some little doorway to be able to get in, so you have a sukkah. Is that kosher? You put the schach l'shem sukkah, so, and there are four walls, so what's wrong? Kosher. No problem whatsoever. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Emeini Yechoy Lamed Befnei Atzma, Pesula, if it cannot stand on its own, it's possible. What does that mean, it cannot stand on its own? So that's a machloikis in the Gemara. My time in Rabbi Yehuda. Pliyi bar Rabzei Rab Abba bar Mamel Chadam Neisha Ein Lo Keva. Ein Lo Keva means the sukkah is mobile. It can move just like your mita. If a person wants to move the bed to sweep under the bed or to move it to the other side of the room or move it to another room, mita by definition is something which is mobile. It moves. Masha Enken, you're talking about a sukkah. The sukkah's got to have the kviyas, not that you should be able to go and move the sukkah out. And in fact, this gemara is used as the basis for discussion in the poskim whether or not you can have sukkahs like they have today. The Lubavitchers have these sukkahs on the back of the beds of trucks, whether that is an acceptable sukkah or not. We're going to have later on, I believe, a Mishnah and Gemara, whether you can build a sukkah on a sfina, which is all to the same type of connotation where it can move. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so the problem with the bed, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that since you can move a bed, you can move the whole sukkah, it doesn't have a kliyas, that's why it's possible. Since a bed, by definition, is makabel tuma, because it's a kli that people use for lying. In fact, the bed part of the bed, the mattress part, would have a din of tumas medras. Okay, so the bed posts don't have a tumas medras. You don't sit on the post. But nevertheless, it's all part of this kli, and therefore it's makabel tuma, and that's why you can't do it. You know, but one second. We're not talking about that the schach is makabel tuma. We're just talking about the bed posts on makabel tuma. So what difference does that make? And the answer is because it's a ma'amid. And Rashi says that although we've never learned this halach until now, our Gemara is telling us that not only the schach cannot be mekabel tumah, but the ma'amid, the thing holding up the schach, cannot be mekabel tumah. And if the walls of this mita are not kosher walls, in the sense that they're mekabel tumah, since the schach would fall down without those walls, therefore, the halacha is that you cannot use the mita because of the din of tumah. My benai, what's an afkamina between these two reasons? Very simple. What happens if you took spits made out of iron and you stuck them into the ground, the mesikah chalem, and you put schach on top of it? These spits are not moving anywhere. You dug them and you stuck them in the ground, so it's not mobile. Spits, we know, are mekabel tumah. They're metal. They also don't grow from the ground. So, if you're telling me that mamid cannot be mekabel tumah, so then this would be a possible sukkah. Omer Abaye. So Abaye says something very similar. Loishanu, when it says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's possible. Loishanu elasamach avasikech al gabi amita. Then it's ksheira. What means samach? What means sikech? Rashi says that our Mishnah is talking about that samach sukasei on top of the kroy hamita. And then we have the two problems, either that this is a mobile sukkah, or because of the fact that the kroyim have a din of a ma'amid, which are mekabel tumah. But what happens if instead of doing that, you use the frame of the bed as the four walls, but you put the schach on top of yiseidois? You say this would be poles that you put into the ground, like bamboo sticks that you put into the ground, and then on top of the poles, you go and put your bamboo sticks as your schach. Ah, so therefore you don't have a problem of a mamet being mekabel tumah, because the poles are yesedos, they're made out of wood, they're pshuta kliyetz, they're not mekabel tumah, and you don't have a problem of a moving mobile sukkah, because they're stuck in the ground. And therefore, if you put schach, it's stuck over the four walls, but it's not that the schach is supported by the four walls of the sukkah, of the mita. They are supported by four yesedois poles which have been stuck in the ground, and it's kosher. My time. Since these poles are stuck in the ground, it won't move. It's a good sukkah. Since these four yesedos are pshutikli yates, they're not mekabel tuma, so I don't have a mamid problem, no problem of tuma, and therefore says Abaya, everybody would agree that this sukkah is kosher v'yushar. Any questions, Rabbi Sai?